Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand now and also locate your worship bulletin. We're going to read the passage of Scripture for this morning together. It's from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. Then remain standing as we share the prayer together that will be on the screen from the war room, Mrs. Claire's prayer. Let us prepare our hearts as the people of God as we read God's word together from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. Let us prepare as we read. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us prepare our hearts as we pray together as the people of God. Let us pray. Help me to stand on your word above all else. Help me to fight on my knees and worship you with my whole heart. Help me to proclaim with my life that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Guide me to the people who will call upon your name. Raise up those who love you and seek you and trust you. Call us to battle, Lord, as we listen to your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I want to share with you that one question that I will ask for audience participation is this question: what is prayer? What is prayer? So I will ask three people, so just be ready. Don't want you to say I caught you off guard. I want to share with you as it relates to the title of my sermon for this morning. Prayers, prayers, prayers. It's very important for us to remember that prayer is still our main weapon. And I also, it is the power of prayer. In fact, when we joined the United Methodist Church, as I stated last week, there are five areas in particular that we respond to with the question, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and witness? Let me help you, for those of you trying to fill in the blank there in your sermon notes. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and witness? Last Sunday, I talked about service as we were sharing with Sunday Serve. This Sunday, I want to share as it relates to prayers and how prayer is indeed significant in our spiritual journey. In fact, it is so important. If you follow the writings of the Apostle Paul, you'll see that Paul, in each and every letter, he expressed himself through prayer. It's just that important. So what is prayer? What is prayer? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. What is prayer? Now, it's going to be a short sermon because we're going to have a meeting after. So look to your other neighbor and ask the question. What is prayer? Yeah, what is prayer? What is prayer? Suzanne, what is prayer? Oh, he's the preacher. He should already know.
Prayer is when I can communicate with God my thanks for all my blessings and my hopes and dreams for myself and others.
All right. Give her a hand. All right. And we're so delighted she's been here before. She's a member of Pastor Coffey's church. Lisa, what is prayer?
Prayer is when I can communicate with God, but also more when I can sit and listen to what he has to tell me and just go by his word.
All right. Very good. Give her a hand. Prayer is listening to God. We can't do it like a microwave, just send up our requests and that's it. Well, we can't conclude this without going to our superintendent, and then you can turn this off, sir. What is prayer? What is prayer?
Wow, I'm sure glad I'm here this morning. For me, prayer is communication, and as has been already indicated by the other two folks, it's two-way. It's sharing with God what's on our hearts. It's listening to God, what God wants to say to us, and being with God in all of that, and moving ahead and living the life that God wants us to live.
All right. Thank you. Give him a hand. Okay. And all three are correct as it relates to prayer. It is talking to God and listening to God and living according to the will and the ways of God. Well, if you have your Bibles, look at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, but just put an insert there because I'm going to call your attention to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is writing to the early day church. He is writing this letter, and actually it's two letters. 1 Thessalonians, which consists of just 5 chapters, and then the Apostle Paul, you can say he was a long-winded preacher. He writes another letter, but it only consisted of 3 chapters. But he's writing this church, if you look closely, in Acts chapter 17, just in the first 4 verses. The Apostle Paul is so excited to have the opportunity to write to this church and to admonish them, to affirm them in the faith. The Bible clearly starts out by Paul saying to them that he wanted to give thanks to God for their faithfulness. In fact, if you continue to read, you'll see that the Apostle Paul, on 3 occasions, you can sum it up, 3 weeks, he goes into the Jewish synagogues and he shares the word of God. And he inspires these believers who would grasp what Paul was saying and they would go forth and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the backdrop of this text, if you look closely in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is not seated in some pew, some air conditioning building, not in the midst of the sun shining after a few rainy days, but the Apostle Paul is under great stress, great persecution, great opposition. The Apostle Paul was not merely concerned about his circumstances, what was going on around him. That was not what Paul was mainly concerned about. The Apostle Paul was concerned about getting the word of God to go out and to go forth. So much so, if you read the backdrop of this biblical history point, you'll bless you. You'll see where the Apostle Paul had to travel 100 miles in order to get this word to the church. He did not have the conveniency of a Bentley or a Mercedes or even a bus fare. He had to walk, but he was willing to go the extra mile to share the gospel. So much so, here now in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, he is now sharing with the church words of encouragement. If you read those 8 chapters in their entirety, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you will look and Paul only has 8 chapters. But let me give you in a quick Bible study reference. Number 1 aim was encouragement. He was writing these letters to encourage the believers, to encourage them in the faith. When was the last time you sent a word of encouragement? Not requesting anything, not requesting to have lunch or a meeting or anything of that nature, but just a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement will do a person some good. Here is the Apostle Paul encouraging them in the faith. And then the Apostle Paul is reminding them, point number two, of the importance of prayer. He reminds them that prayer indeed is important. So much so, the Apostle is saying, I'm praying for you. I give thanks to God for you. And then the third point. In each and every one of his letters, and especially the first four, you'll see that at the conclusion, the Apostle Paul is reminding them that the coming, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is near. The Apostle Paul is reminding his readers to stay steadfast. That's what he says in the second letter. To stay steadfast and unmovable. Always abiding in the word of God. But look how he closes out his letter. He shares with them once again, I'm praying for you. When is the last time you and I just spent some time praying for folks? Praying that God will cover them, that God will protect them, regardless of what is happening around the world. But be in a posture of prayer. In fact, if you look closely at this passage of scripture that we read together this morning, you would almost think Paul has lost his mind. I would better yet to say that Paul lost his cock and picking mind. For the apostle Paul says right here in the text, he says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. Now, some other translation says, rejoice, rejoice. What is Paul saying? Paul, how in the world can we rejoice? How in the world can we pray at all times, be cheerful at all times with what's happening in our world? How? How with all the terrible things that are going on, cancer and campus shootings and accidents and death and sin. And yet Paul has the audacity to say to you and to me to rejoice. Be cheerful. Pray at all times. What is going on with Paul? Is he detached from my surroundings, from my situations? Well, for the Apostle Paul, it was not what was going on around him. It was going on through him. The Apostle Paul indeed was faced with many oppositions, many challenges like you and like me. But the Apostle Paul was focused on Jesus. And he was thankful for the grace of God. Do you worry about those things that you can't control? Don't raise your hands. The Apostle Paul was focused on God. And he was sustained by the grace of God. In fact, I want to call to your attention, if you look over my right shoulder, look over my left shoulder, you'll see two banners. One is a citation from Corinthians, from the Apostle Paul. Listen to these words as God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. That same grace is offered to you and to me. And then look at here. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's just a continuation. Not by any works so that we can boast, but it's all by the grace of Almighty God. I shared this illustration on Wednesday night in Bible study. Karl Barth, the great theologian. He was late for a meeting, and they were having a debate going back and forth about what separates Christianity from all of the other religions. Karl Barth says that's easy. It's grace. It's grace. Because all major religions, they point upwards to God. They point their people upwards to their God, to their deity. And even in Christianity, we look up to God. You remember David said, I look lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. All my help comes from God. But in Christianity, not only do we look up to God, unlike the other religions, our God reaches down to his people. Let me say it another way. If you have your Bibles, look at John 1:1. John says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But keep reading. Look at the 14th verse. He says, and the Word became flesh and blood. And I like the way Eugene Peterson says it. He says, the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. God has come down to be with his people. And I thank God that we can communicate with God through prayer. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, that we can communicate with God through the channels of prayer. Paul even says, be earnest in prayer. Be alert in prayer. Be sincere in prayer. Matthew Henry came along. And Matthew Henry reminds us that prayer should be the impulse of the morning. Martin Luther, who tacked his 95th thesis on the Church of Wittenberg in Germany, he was not looking to be highlighted because of his letter. Martin Luther, the highlight for his point was his prayer life. Early in the morning, he prayed to God 3 hours, for 3 hours in the morning. How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do I spend in prayer? Prayer is the need of the hour. What our world needs now is prayer, prayer, and more prayers. Amen? You look at the life of the Apostle Paul and you could easily say, why pray? Why should I pray? And perhaps people have asked you that question as well. Why should I pray if God knows all, he sees all, and he's going to do his own will anyway? Why should I pray? Well, number one, in the Bible, in God's holy word, we are called to pray. And obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Number two, guess what? Jesus prayed. And number three, you might want to hold on to your seats. Prayer works. Can I get a witness? Prayer works. Sometimes you could share those beautiful prayers to God. And then sometimes you can't get the words out through the tears. Do I have somebody know what I'm talking about? And yet, God allows the Holy Spirit in the midst of our jumble words. He just gives those words through the Holy Spirit to God. Prayer works. How does prayer work? I'm glad you asked. Number one, the power of prayer is not that it changes diseases and situations, but it changes us, the people who pray. You might want to write that down. It changes the people who pray. In fact, and you'll have to help some of our contemporary folks who have their own cell phones and don't know anything about this type of phone at all. Prayer works like this. Paul is not saying that you walk around just praying. Just praying. Paul is not saying that, because we do know that gentleman on my left named Alan, there's football to be watched. Amen. So Paul wouldn't want us to miss that. But Paul is saying we should be ready to pray at all times. He's actually saying keep the receiver off the hook. Be ready at any moment to pray. It is just like a person who has a persistent cough. That persistent cough continues to bother that person and irritates that person. But that person doesn't keep coughing second by second by second. That person yet always has a little tingle in the back of their throat. And that's just like prayer. We don't have to be walking around praying, but we ought to have that little tingle ready to call on the Father at any moment. There's an old song that says, Jesus is on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. He will answer prayer. Point number two. Prayer changes the people who pray, making them more what? Peaceful? Accepting? Oh, you can do better than that. Prayer, let's say it together. Prayer changes the people who pray, making them more peaceful, accepting, and aligned with their Christian convictions. With your Christian convictions. How many of you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den, by a show of hands? Yeah. Daniel in the lion's den. He was told not to pray. But if you read Daniel, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, you'll read these words. Daniel knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel believed in prayer. And even though he was told not to pray, he couldn't help himself. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you really didn't look to come to pray to God, but because you just need to talk to him, you end up praying to him and talking to him? God is willing to be with us, and regardless of what lion den you're in now, prayer will keep you. Can I get a witness? God will keep you, regardless of your situation. Just like Daniel in the lion's den, God did not change the appetites of the lions. What he did was he prepared and preserved his servant Daniel in the midst of the lions. And that's what God will do for you and for me. I like the story of Emily Towns, the great writer who tells the story about a woman who was working at a plant. She was working very faithfully there. That was her calling. She loved her job. She loved everything about her job except her manager. Her manager was a negative person. If something was positive, he'll find something negative to talk about. Have you ever met? No, don't answer that. But yet she was told by Towns, before you leave home, I want you to pray the model prayer. As you're driving towards your job, pray that prayer. When you get into the plant facility, pray that prayer. And when you get to the part where it says, hallowed be thy name, I want you to stay right there and let God do the work. And guess what happened? God indeed worked through her prayers. In fact, she was so faithful, so committed with that prayer, and she continued that pattern day in and day out. And not only was her life changed, but all of her co-workers, their lives were changed. And even that manager, he started now expressing positive thoughts. It wasn't based upon her ability. Don't get it wrong. It was based upon the name of God, as she was saying, hallowed be thy name, not based upon my attitude, not for anything for me to boast, but because of the name of God. And we can stand boldly in the name of Jesus. Amen. You remember that hymn that we just finished singing, stand up for Jesus. It will make the difference. Point number three, and I'm getting ready to close. If you want to write this down, prayer doesn't change the heart and the mind of God, but it can change our own human heart and mind. Amen? God is no puppet on a string that we can play around with God. But if we pray to God, God will answer prayer. On Wednesday night, there was a song that was cited, not sung. It says, somebody prayed for me. Took a little time and prayed for me. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. Took a little time to pray for me. When was the last time you prayed for someone? Someone is probably waiting even now for you to pray for them. And God will answer prayer. I'm so glad that Jesus prayed for me. I'm so glad that Jesus was willing to die for me. I'm so glad that Jesus bled for me. I'm so glad that they took Jesus off the cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb. But I'm so glad, hallelujah, that he got up the third day morning with all power in his hands. It makes the difference through the power of prayer. Let me share this illustration with you. In Cincinnati, there's a museum. It's one of the six conscious museums of the United States. Lynn and I had the privilege, along with family members and friends, to go to that museum, the Underground Railroad Museum. And there in Cincinnati, it's very fascinating stories that come out of there. The main centerpiece is the slave pen. It's kind of hard to believe, hard to fathom, that people would literally be sold into slavery, but then told, now, because they had the highest bidder to bid for that person, that now you're free. Those were the words. It reminds me of what Jesus did for you and for me. He went to the slave pen of sin, to the marketplace, and he was willing to shed his own blood for you and for me. The Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, not based upon something that can perish, but something that is significant. It is the blood of Jesus that we're redeemed. If you want to know the existence of God, you can't look around your circumstances. Just look to the cross. God exists because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid it all. And all to him I owe. The hymnologist said it this way as I close. And our communion helpers are invited to come at this time. The hymnologist said it this way. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath thy flood. Lose all thy guilt and shame. Thanks be to God. My guilt has been delivered. And I'm free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord.